FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 187, recorded February 5th, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
I am Delicious Man. Hello.
Kind of like Metal Man, Magnet Man.
Yeah, I'm Delicious Man. That's my that's my supervillain name.
Delicious Man.
Delicious Man. You figure it out.
And you have a big D on your shirt. Oh, wait a minute. That's not
that's right.
Oh, God.
The chest hair. My chest hair forms a D when I take my shirt off.
Also with us is Jim Black, a.k.a. Maroni Prime.
Hello.
As well as Jason Walston, a.k.a. Plasticon.
How's it going, guys? I'm back from the studio.
Well, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about some things. One thing that was recently kind of in the news and talked about in the fandom, it's not confirmed that it's going to come to be, but we're going to talk a little bit about the possible ramifications, what it might mean if it actually happens, a merger between Mattel and Hasbro. You know, there's been some links and some mentions popping up here recently, and I just read an article a short while ago on Bloomberg Business about this potential merger. We'll talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to talk about the characters that were released in the that were introduced in the 1986 animated Transformers movie. Yeah, we're going to talk about Hot Rod / Rodimus Prime, Ultra Magnus, Cup, Blur, Galvatron, Cyclonus. Those guys, talk a little bit about how they affected the franchise going forward from the movie, and how they were a stark contrast between the 1984-85 characters and then the 86 and ongoing characters. So we're stay tuned for that. Before we get going, I want to remind people that we have two sponsors. One of them is CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, where you can save on orders of $150 or more with free shipping. So there's also the loyalty program. If you're
Yeah, Daron?
Yes. Yeah, my connection must be cramping up.
Yeah, there you go.
But sorry about that. But anyway,
loyalty program.
Yeah, loyalty program. loyalty program. If you buy a lot, the more you buy from Capture Prey, you can save even more through the loyalty program. So check out CaptureProey.com. Also, check out MegaToyFan at Facebook.com/MegaToyFan. You can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan. And if you are going to Joelanta coming up very soon, if you're a G.I. Joe collector, you will find MegaToyFan there. He's going to be there set up. So check out MegaToyFan at Joelanta coming up very soon. I'm not sure on the date on that. I should have looked that up. My bad. But he will be there. Check him out. So, guys, this potential merger thingy, I know it's corporate, you know, hoopla and everything, and doesn't necessarily directly have anything to do with the Transformers franchise, but since Hasbro owns Transformers and everything, and you know, there might be some things that affect the brand, like, you know, maybe some more money being pumped into the companies, more money for like research development. I don't know exactly how it all works, but that there's some potential there. Anybody have any speculations or suppositions based on this potential thing?
I have one major requirement. If Hasbro and Mattel do in fact merge, my requirement is that the resultant company be called Hazmat.
See what you did there.
It will ruin the whole thing.
Yeah. Those of you who aren't aware of what's going on here, I'm on BloombergBusiness.com here, and I'll read the opening paragraph here. To kind of give you the gist of what's going on here. Mattel Incorporated and Hasbro Incorporated have held talks about merging two of the world's biggest toy companies, according to people familiar with the matter, in a deal that would bring together the manufacturer of Hot Wheels and the maker of My Little Pony. Hasbro approached Mattel about a potential transaction late last year, and the companies have held on and off again talks about a deal, the people said, asking not to be identified as the situation isn't public. All of a sudden, here it is. So anyway, details of how a transaction might be structured couldn't immediately be learned. The talks may not lead to a deal, but the people said. Mattel shares rose 1.7% to $32.29 in New York. And Hasbro's rose 1.3% to $75.96 and climbed as high as $78.45 to about a net worth of $9.5 billion. So, you know, big companies, lots of money being exchanged here, possibly. What do you guys think? Now, Rick, you worked for Hasbro. You talked a little bit about this before the show. What is your insight on this?
Well, I don't have any inside information, so my information is purely opinion only. You know, sometimes companies will put out feeler stories like this for whatever reason. You see a lot of marketing campaigns do stuff similar with feature films, television series. Could be an attempt to drive up stock prices, could be an attempt to bring attention to a company. Talks like this have been on and off for years, you know, like these rumors of Hasbro buying Mattel, Mattel buying Hasbro, Disney buying Mattel, Disney buying Hasbro, Hasbro buying Kenner, Hasbro buying Marvel. So I'm not surprised by these rumors. Until something is concrete, it really just doesn't, I don't feel a need to get concerned over it whatsoever. I think having worked at Hasbro, I think unfortunately if a merger were to take place, I think you're going to see a few people lose their jobs. One of two locations is going to close down, and I would assume that would be the Rhode Island Hasbro offices. And the reason I say that is because Hasbro is more and more trying to enter into the entertainment industry. It wants to be an entertainment company, not a toy company. And Mattel being located in California, right outside LA, I think that has a huge potential to move a lot of people from Rhode Island, from beautiful, scenic, sunny Rhode Island to gloomy LA and shutting that office down. So I see, like, that's the first thing that comes to my head. Like, wow, all those people. I still know a lot of those people, still talk to some of those people. As far as merging the brands, I would love to see a He-Man Transformers crossover.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a He-Man fan. But then at the same time, I think about Mattel has purchased Mega Bloks, and we still haven't seen any He-Man Mega Bloks on the market. They tease us a little bit with Castle Grayskull at Comic-Con, but they haven't followed up with anything, and there's no sign of any product being released in regards to any other Mattel lines coming into the Mega Bloks world. I think Hasbro is trying to keep Creo afloat. I think that could be a part of why a merger could be in place to gain access to the Mega Bloks mold and try and bring the Hasbro brands into the Mega Bloks world, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Little Pet Shop Transformers, and kind of do away with Creo.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't Lego still currently the number one toy company in the world?
Yes. They are the number one toy and the number one tire manufacturer in the world.
Oh, yeah. About that, you're right.
Yeah, and they're actually right down the street from me. Their U.S. headquarters is like 30 minutes away from my house.
Wow.
But they don't let me in the building anymore. Not since the incident.
not since the incident. Well,
we won't speak about that one.
Those poor people.
Well, do you see if... And this is all conjecture. This is all conjecture. If this merger actually does happen, do you see it affecting the Transformers brand in a positive or negative way, or at all?
I don't think it would have any impact whatsoever on the Transformers brand at all. No. If anything, smaller price point figures. Your little Legion class stuff. I don't know what they call the brands now. The deluxe, you know, deluxe, the size below deluxe. Stuff like that. Yeah, stuff like that might be Mattel's distribution might help them in emerging markets across the world. Markets where Hasbro doesn't necessarily have anything on the shelves. So I think that could be a positive, but I don't think it'll affect the Transformers brand in any way. I think another thing to consider is all the rights that, I mean, this would be like a legal nightmare in regards to like property rights and video rights and a lot of that stuff that Mattel has a hand or like a finger in the pot, and same with Hasbro, like a lot of that stuff is now represented by Classic Media, which was purchased by DreamWorks. And like at the end of the day, what would be the goal of combining these two really? Is it just to cut cost? What is the end factor? Because Mattel is very big. They have Barbie and they have Hot Wheels, and Hasbro's just as big. They have Transformers, Nerf. They're trying to make some Star Wars figures, but I hear there's a Rey shortage.
Yeah.
And and now Hasbro has Disney Princesses, which is one of the biggest brands out there. So what is the point of merging? That's what I ask. What is the end goal? And I think it just comes down to saving money. And fortunately, I think that means a few jobs lost and a certain building closing down.
So it's possible that there's more negative that could come out of it really than positive for the fans.
Well, for stockbrokers, it would be a positive. For employees, I think it could be seen as a negative. For fans, I don't think it'll be generally affected other than maybe gaining some better distribution for certain things. And seeing some fanboy crossovers. Fan person crossovers. Sorry.
Well, my thing is that, you know, Mattel isn't exactly known for having great case assortments, you know, and their distribution. I know, like I've said before, you know, I collected the Masters of the Universe relaunch in 2002. I got heavy into that, and it was extremely difficult to get a hold of, like, the odd characters, you know, like Man at Arms and Mechanic and everything, because the case assortments, you know, out of a case of eight, you may have like four He-Man, two Skeletor, and then one each of an ancillary character. And I don't know if Hasbro turns its distribution over to like the Mattel guys. I don't know if we would run into the similar thing at, with Transformers and everything. That would be a nightmare for collectors. Well, I mean, you know, and that's just being doom and gloom about it. I'm not saying that that would happen.
Well, yeah, it could possibly go the other way too.
But you know, you're using an example from what, 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you know, things have changed, and you're talking about a specific toy line that's not even available at mass retail, at brick and mortar stores. It's an online exclusive. If anything, I could see them maybe trying to do some kind of crossover branding with Transformers and trying to bring He-Man back into the brick and mortar stores, while at the same time copying what they're doing with He-Man and the Thundercat subscriptions, and creating basically what the TFCC is doing with the yearly subscription figures, and creating a line of Transformers Joe Pony targeted at collectors in that way.
I completely forgot that Mattel had Thundercats. I was, in my mind, still thinking the Bandai had it from back in 2011.
Wasn't that Kenner? Or was it Mattel?
That was Bandai. The relaunch from a few years ago is Bandai.
Oh.
And now Mattel is launching Thundercats later this year through a subscription.
So we could get like a Thundercat Transformer, or a Feliner, or Tower of Omens.
Yeah. You can get a Metroplex that turns into Castle Grayskull.
Cool.
Or a Triplicon that transforms into Snake Mountain, or a Feliner that turns into a Sweep or something, sure. Thunder Tank that turns into a Megatron.
Yeah. Jason, what's your thoughts on any potential outcome of this?
I can see a lot of Barbie Transformer crossovers.
that's not out of the question, because Barbie does have a long history of crossing over with a lot of pop culture properties. Mm-hmm. Not to interrupt you, but Batman versus Superman, we just saw those pop up. All the DC stuff, what's that Mockingbird one with the girl that shoots an arrow?
Hunger Games.
Yeah, that thing, you know. So, you know, I could probably go for like a Barbie-inspired RC, or, you know, Spike and Carly or something.
Negative. Interesting. Yeah, probably to see something like that. But the thing I'm actually, if they did this the right way, think about back when we were kids and we got like the Micro Machine things, where like you had the fold out bases and stuff like that, and it all kind of had like a bit of a transformation to it. Imagine what they could do with Hot Wheels. And I mean, everybody out there's had Spy Changers before. I'm a big Spy Changer fan, and they do fit on Hot Wheel racetracks, so I can see maybe a little more potential for something similar to that. I mean, think about some of the Legend figures we have that are fairly articulated. And they almost are about the size of, you know, they're a little bigger than a Hot Wheel, but they can probably get the engineering down. Imagine getting all the ones like that.
Our RPMs and Speed Stars that we got back in like Revenge of the Fallen and Dark of the Moon era, those were probably the closest we got to Hot Wheels as far as that goes.
Yeah, I was just thinking RPMs, the rip-ups.
Yeah, and those were actually pretty neat. Although it was these, you know, just stand up the car, and you have the whole silhouette of the robot on the bottom. But I mean, you think about it, if they really wanted to engineer more of the transformation gimmick, they would probably turn more to what can I do with like a Legends figure, and push that along with a spy changer to make an even more articulated robot, be able to sell a ton of those with, like, a Hot Wheel racetrack set. And well, I don't know, you got something that's like a Metroplex that transforms or something.
You know, I was thinking something pretty similar to that, but I was thinking about the Hot Wheel Star Wars and how the character kind of becomes the car. So Darth Vader's helmet is elongated and that becomes a car, where I can see them trying to do something where, yeah, they make the classic vehicles for Transformers, but they also take Prime's head, elongated, and that's a truck in the shape of Prime's head.
So animated Prime.
Yeah.
Okay. You
know. I mean, that's just what I would do.
I think it would be pretty interesting, honestly, because, you know, and if they really want to – who out there actually has, like, the Micro Machine brand? Who does that right now?
Mattel. So Mattel Micro Machine. I'm sorry. Micro Machine is Hasbro. Micro Machine is Hasbro. Hot Wheels and Matchbox is Mattel.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can see almost like a crazy crossover.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. He dropped off.
He's dead to us now.
I blame G2 Superion.
You all the weakest link. Goodbye. There he is.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But you think about it, there's a potential there that if they really wanted to do it the right way, they can release Hot Wheels that look like, you know, like the Fairlady Z's. They can release an Optimus Prime that looks like the actual truck from the 80s. Absolutely. They can literally do that kind of thing, and they can put it in a Hot Wheels environment and even maybe kind of push the engineering even more and go into a Micro Machine size too, which would be really cool. And I know guys out there would buy those, like, in droves. I mean, especially if they're dirt cheap. Who wouldn't want an Optimus Prime for, like, $4 or $5?
Well, you know? You also think about what other brands Hasbro has and the potential for a Hot Wheels-inspired line. Tons of G.I. Joe vehicles, and then there's the big one, Mask.
Mm.
Imagine what they could do with Mask and Hot Wheels. We saw a little bit of that in the RPMs, like the bigger figures, but it's just a way. I mean, the Hot Wheels name does carry a lot of weight with it, so it would get a lot of those people who are those diehard Hot Wheels collectors to look at potentially another brand.
Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of those Hot Wheels collectors out there, they look at all of them. Like, they had, like, the Jetsons little bubble car that was a Hot Wheels car. And it's labeled the Jetsons. And then they had stuff for, like, some, like, major bands like AC/DC and stuff like that. They had vehicles that were plastered all over. There's no reason why they couldn't do this with the Transformer.
They even did the Angry Birds. It was actually the actual bird and the actual pig with wheels on it.
I think it would be cool if you did the Hot Wheels were Autobots and the Matchbox were Decepticons. Because there's diehard fans out there who only collect Matchbox, only collect Hot Wheels. But now, if they want to complete it, you're making them buy the other person's brand.
That'd be awesome. And then, like, the play sets, like, coincide with that.
That
too,
would be, you know, that would be evil, exactly what
it is. That would be so cool. I would be so behind that.
See, that's how my dirty mind thinks.
Honestly, I think that's actually a better way of trying to get people to buy both sides of the brand, you know, and that's great. That's actually a great marketing scheme there. That would work.
Cross-selling, yeah. Yes.
Well, I actually kind of like Plasticon's idea that he brought up just a few minutes ago. As far as, you know, getting some of the, like the Optimus Prime and the Fairlady Z's as, you know, Hot Wheels cars, it got me thinking, you know, as much of of nostalgia factor as the Heritage G1 line is, how awesome would it be to just have a collection of die-cast vehicles that are the G1, like, 84 and 85 vehicles, just having die-cast representation of those for display.
Yeah.
You know, to have the Maserati, to have the Porsche, you know, all these others licensed.
Maserati? Well, who's a Maserati?
What wasn't that Wheeljack? Wasn't that a Maserati?
No, he was
Lancia Stratos.
Oh, Lancia. I don't know.
The thing I would see there, though, who's got the – I don't know who it is that actually has the license to Johnny Lightning.
I believe that's also owned by – I thought Mattel bought that up.
Is that Mattel as well?
I thought Mattel bought Hasbro.
Johnny Lightnings, I don't know if you guys have ever played with any of those, but they actually, some of them have rubber tires, and they're actually very well done. They're like literally almost like the car literally shrunk down. They have opening doors, hood opens, all that. It'd be amazing to see like a set sold like that that are Transformers. That would be really cool. I mean, if you did it, like we were talking about like the die-cast vehicles, it'd be like a miniature scale of just like, you know, if you have Prowl and all his doors open and the back opens and the hood opens and shows the engine. I mean, I don't know anybody wouldn't want that.
Apparently there's this company called Tomy that bought the Johnny Lightning brand.
Tomy.
Well, Tomy.
Somewhere.
Tomy. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a lot of great spec. Uh-oh. Did I fade out again?
No, you're good.
Okay. There's you know, this is a lot of great speculation and everything, and there, and we could speculate until the cows come home, but we really don't know. But there is some information out there. Check out the websites, and there's really nothing really to be concerned about until, you know, something actually happens. So, you know, all this talk and all these articles on Transformer websites about a potential merger, right now there's really nothing that's come to fruition. These are things that we either think might happen, would like to happen, you know, don't know. But if you want to give us your thoughts, check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. I'm monitoring the Twitter feed right now. So if you want to interact with us live during the show, if you're watching us on YouTube, mention us at TFYLP on Twitter, or you can post in our Facebook group that we have going on. Quite a few members. We've got 536 members right now. So, you know, we're monitoring that during the show. So, if you want to, and I'm reading these texts here on the video chat, and I'm like, yeah, you guys can just suck an egg. Yeah, join in the fun, and we may even mention your comment or question on air. So the 1986 movie, a little disjointed segue here, but the 1986 movie, a lot of us love that, especially if you're a Gen 1 fan. It has a love-hate relationship, honestly, within the fandom. A lot of people don't like the 86 movie and the stories afterwards, think that it got quite watered down. Some of us, like myself, you know, I enjoyed a lot of the characters post-movie and even during the movie. You know, Optimus Prime died in the movie and was replaced by...
Yes, he died.
And
spoiler.
Yes. Yeah. 30-year-old spoiler. And was replaced by Rodimus Prime, who was a grown up version of Hot Rod. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. This is part of our 30th anniversary of Transformers, the movie from 1986. You know, this is also the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. So throughout the year, we're going to talk a little bit about the 86 movie and a little bit about Beast Wars, kind of celebrate the anniversaries of both of those monumental things within the franchise. But tonight we're going to look at the characters that were introduced in the 1986 movie and what we think of the main ones and how they impacted the franchise. Now, it can't be denied that post-1986 was vastly different from the previous two seasons or 2 years of Transformers from 1984 to 85. But 86, was, if I'm not mistaken, some of the movie characters were actually some of the first Transformers to be designed as Transformers. It was not imported over from other lines, because 84 and 85 characters were almost entirely, I believe, you know, imported from Diaclone, Microchange, Microman, those lines like that. But in the 86 movie, we were introduced to characters Ultra Magnus was what, Powered Convoy and Diaclone. But I don't believe Blur, Cup, any of those, Hot Rod, I think those were entirely new designs that were introduced. And they were and always have been Transformers. So it's actually a very historic time in Transformers. Jason, I'll start with you since you're first on the right going this way. The 86 movie characters, how did you see them in stark contrast to the 84, 85 guys, and who is your favorite one?
I would say, like, in stark contrast, they felt a little more blocky. They didn't have, like, some of them had, like, a streamlined design, but, like, toy-wise, they felt really chunky compared to the other ones had almost, it felt almost like an ornate type of transformation, I would say. It was just a little different. Like, character-wise, I mean, from, like, the movies and such, I mean, I've always been an Ultra Magnus fan, but I would have to say Springer. I just always liked him. I liked his design. I liked the character. I just liked the versatility of bringing in a new triple.
A new triple.
He's dead.
Yes.
He's dead.
You know, since he's away and everything, I think Headmaster Don should have been on this episode because he could have totally gushed about RC again.
Why didn't we get an RC figure back in 86? Even in 87, they made a Headmaster. They could have just made her a Headmaster then.
We love you, Don. are you back with us, Jason? No, I think he's still frozen. Okay, Jim, I'll pass on to you until and let Jason finish whenever he comes back. Same question to you. How do you draw a stark contrast between the 84, 85 characters and the 86 movie characters? And who is your favorite?
Well, as far as contrast, with 84 and 85, it seemed to me more of a type of thing where it was like whoever's in that particular episode would interact, and not so much a set click like we got in season 3 and, you know, the 86 movie and all of that. Because, you know, look back at, like, season 2, okay? You may have, I don't know, Perceptor and, I don't know, Huffer, you know, and a couple other people, a couple other of the team on a mission for that particular episode, and it would change up constantly. You know, next episode you might have Warpath and, you know, Grapple, you know, or something, teaming up for something. But with the 86 movie and from then on out, I think we started to kind of introduce to the brand kind of the dynamic of having a narrowed down team that we also saw continue on in, like, Prime and Beast Wars and all that, where you have, you know, just a select few, and they're the main characters that are always the dominant focus for the most part. Because look at 86, you've got Ultra Magnus, Springer, RC Cup, Hot Rod, Blaster, you know, and all these others. And those are constantly in every episode. Maybe not every single one, but it always focuses around those. You build more of a kind of a triangle thing between RC, Springer, and Hot Rod off and on throughout season 3.
You know,
that starts a little bit in the movie.
You've got a great point there. You know, in the 84, 85 characters, especially in the cartoon, we saw pretty much a cavalcade of characters that come and go. And the main characters that was on every show was Optimus Prime, Bumblebee. And then it was like a bunch of other characters that rotated in and out. Whereas, post movie, it seemed to be the same core group. I mean, you know, everybody talks about Beast Wars, how the small cast you know, everybody seemed to be more identified with those characters because it was small and very compact. And if you look at the core characters in the 86 movie and season three, yes, we did have, we still had a cavalcade of characters that kept coming in, but every episode pretty much was around the central core characters of Hot Rod, or I'm sorry, Rodimus, Ultra Magnus, RC, Springer, Grimlock, and Perceptor, and I guess to a lesser extent, Retgar. And then on the Decepticon sides, it was always Galvatron, Scourge, and Cyclonus, and then whoever else they wanted to throw in there with them. So yeah, I kind of see. I like that. I like that idea that you brought forward there.
You wanted it first.
Yep.
I don't know if it was intentional, but I think it was because they happened to be the ones that were the main focus in the film. They were the ones introduced. And as a result of that focus and exposure, I think that carried on and continued on through the series. I think they started to break away from that a bit through season three when they started to be able to introduce more characters. when we got some more of the special combiner teams like the Predacons, the Technobots, Throttlebots, just different odds and ends out into Rebirth. But overall, I think as a result of ultimately the movie, the 86 movie. And as far as a favorite, as much as a lot of people in the fandom probably would not agree, I think Hot Rod, only because I don't think he was given a fair shake. I think he has that stigma of having been involved indirectly in Prime's death in the movie, and he never recovered from that. But honestly, I think that character had a lot more potential than he was ever given.
Well, he was also very deep in the fact that, you know, he had the burden of leadership thrust upon him. You know, he wasn't looking for it. It just happened.
Yeah, as a Prime, sure.
Yeah, but
Even when Optimus came back, he became Hot Rod again, but we never see him again for another, 18 years till Energon, and even then he's some kind of truck thing.
Well, you're talking about Energon. I mean, that's not necessarily. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, just in general, once G1 was over, really, so too was Hot Rod for the most part.
Unless you read the G2 comics.
Oh yeah. But I mean, outside of Titanium or maybe the commemorative series reissue, when's the last time we got a Rodimus Prime character?
Masterpiece. Animated, yeah.
That wasn't Prime. That was just Rodimus or Hot Rod.
Well, the Masterpiece was Rodimus Prime, but he just didn't come with his trailer in the U.S.
Not even sure if we should count that one. I owned the Hasbro one, and the Target Master was neat, but what were they thinking? They were trying to cram too much into one toy. I don't know. Yeah, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Slash Rodimus.
The potential was there, but the engineering was crap.
Yeah. Yeah. But what about you, Rick? What's your thoughts on?
Well, the first thing that I think about is how different the toys were. You look at all those 84, 85 cars for the Autobots. You look at those Decepticon Seekers, and the transformation sequences seem different. They're thought out differently. The plastic, the scales seem different. It was a very big contrast, and I remember playing as a kid, like kind of keeping them separate because like these were the old Transformers, and these are the new Transformers. And with the new Transformers, in my head, they could go to any other planet they wanted to, but the old Transformers had to stay on Earth because they looked like the Earth cars.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jim makes an excellent point with the film. And the story, and really focusing on a certain group of characters. You think about G1, like the first two seasons, and all right, Optimus and Bumblebee were Starscream were pretty much in almost every episode. And then it was revolving.
And he drops.
Door. And I think we passed. No, oh, we I'm go. Still. Hello.
You dropped off for us.
Lollipop Island. So I think for season three, yeah, there is a core cast there, but there's episodes where it's, hey, it's Ultra Magnus Retgar with whoever, Marissa Fairborn and somebody else, and the Quintesson. Or, hey, there's Skylinks, but they're still Blur. So you still see those guys from the movie, and it's interesting when you see the Headmasters TV series in Japan that it's even more focused on who the core group is.
Daniel and Willie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about Daniel and Sixshot.
Well, there was also some more dynamic that was thrown in that we didn't have in the first 2 years of Transformers. And I'm talking specifically from the standpoint of the cartoon. You know, you had in the first two seasons in 84, 85, the primary goal was for the Autobots was to drive the Decepticons from Earth, who was trying to steal Earth's energy. But after the movie, the Decepticons were still after energy, but it really shifted the whole focus. Unicron changed the game in the movie. You threw him in there, and the Matrix. The Matrix wasn't even mentioned the first two seasons, and then you have the movie, and you're like, "What's this Matrix thing?" But then it explains that it was always there, it just never really was mentioned until the movie, and you know, you have this whole drama that surrounds the Matrix. You know, everybody's after the Matrix. They want the Matrix. The Matrix destroyed Unicron. It must be very powerful. Galvatron wants it, you know. And for a short while, he had it. Even Scourge had it. So it was a dynamic that was thrown into the storyline that was not there previously. And now it still has ramifications 30 years later. You know, we talk about the Matrix. The Matrix was in the animated movie in 86. It's in the new movies, especially in Revenge of the Fallen, even though it looks like a dagger. But it's there. It added something to the lore. Unicron was added to the lore in the movie. Rick, who was your favorite character that was introduced in the movie?
I would say it was Hot Rod, but now he was a kid. He was a cool car.
You were cutting out, Rick. Who was it?
So Hot Rod was the main focus in the film. He had that relationship with Daniel, and we all kind of envisioned ourselves as Daniel when we were watching that film. But now that we look, that I'm an adult, and I look back and I'm like, man, it's really cool that Blur could really, he talked fast, he moved fast, he turned into this hover car type of thing. So going forward, it was always, Blur became my favorite as an adult later on. We did this crazy, awesome art of Blur for Transformers Prime Universe, and it never came to be, but he was all black, and he had like the blue Tron lights all over him.
Oh.
He left that Tron trail when the speed cycle was going through. Like, he left that trail behind him. And, yeah, I was glad to see him in animated. So as a kid, Hot Rod. As an adult, it's Blur.
Also, I would have thought you would have said Scourge, because Scourge is, like, right up there.
The flying bar of soap.
Yes. You know, he always had everybody made fun of him. Back in the 80s, whenever we were kids, it was like, what the hell does he turn into? Is he a boat? Is he a spaceship? What is he? So, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, he just had a vehicle alt mode, and he had those cowling wings, and he was just this lackey you love to hate, you know. Before we go too far, we need to go back to Plasticon. He didn't get to finish his talking because Google decided he needed to leave
I'm guessing Google must be messing up because several of us are lagging out. Like I was saying, I like Springer because Springer, I just like his helicopter mode. I really dug. It was almost like a futuristic Apache. And then his alt mode just being like kind of like almost like a weird looking tank dune buggy thing. I thought that was kind of neat. But I like the idea that they brought another triple changer into the limelight versus just a robot turns into one alt mode.
And that's the Autobots finally got. Yeah, the Autobots finally got their triple changers. I mean, we had them in season two,
right?
With the Decepticons,
with Sandstorm and everything. But I really did like the idea that they did that. I didn't mind his character. I kind of liked his character quite a bit. I did like Retgar. Retgar was neat. When it comes to like adult type of stuff, I really dig his just quirkiness. But I don't know. I've always liked Springer. I don't know why. It's just something about his character in there I just enjoyed.
You know, there's something else. You know, you talked about how, you know, the Decepticons, they had Astrotrain and Blitzwing for the triple changers, and then in the movie we're introduced to Springer, and then later on Sandstorm in season three. But something else that was introduced in the movie that we didn't have, or that was kind of uneven, you know, prior to the movie, Soundwave had his tapes. Well, in the movie, Blaster finally got his tapes. You know, I mean, we saw Blaster previously. We had the Blaster toy, but no tapes. It's like, you know, here's Soundwave, this cassette deck, had all these cassettes that he could eject out of his chest to become these little minions. Well, here's Blaster. He turns into a boombox, and he opens up his chest just like Soundwave, but there's nothing inside. You know, nobody, no minions to put it in there. Well, in the movie, we get Steeljaw, Rewind, Ramhorn, Eject. You know, those guys pretty even up a little bit, even though I think Soundwave always had way more cassettes, and it never was very fair. But
that was a huge moment. I remember being so excited as a kid when I saw the movie and those tapes popped out. I'm like, oh, finally, he's got tapes.
And there, you know, the transition from the 84, 85 characters to the 86 movie, generation of Transformers. And I think for the Autobots, it was primarily, I'm probably cutting out really bad. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like your screen might be frozen, but we can hear you at least.
Yeah.
It's better than looking at you.
Yeah, I know I'm ugly. But the 80...
That's on the outside.
The 84, 85 guys, you know, the carryover into the 86 movie cast and beyond, there had to be some tying factors, you know, some tying characters that tied it in with what we were familiar with. And for the Autobots, it was primarily Blaster, Perceptor, and Grimlock. For the Decepticons, we didn't have so much. I mean, we had the Combiner Team guys, you know, like the Stunicons, the Combaticons. I think those were the tying, the ties to the earlier Transformers for there. What do you think about the change? I mean, do you think it was too soon? Did we not had the first 2 years of Transformers run its course? Were you ready for a whole new cast of characters to come in and change? Jim, what do you think?
I think it was an awful sharp change and an awful lot just all at once, as opposed to a smoother transition. I mean, a lot of it I can understand, you know, like the death of Optimus, the coming of Unicron and things like that. But I mean, it seemed like it was specifically only the 84 and 85 characters that died, and they I mean, I understand from a marketing standpoint they were trying to discontinue the old toys and whatnot, but even so, I mean, you would have thought, you know, something called Autobot City, maybe it would be, you know, staffed with a bunch of, you know, generic foot soldiers, no-name bots and that, and some of them could have ended up getting off too. But I would imagine they might not have put that much thought into it, or if they did, it probably just didn't get past the final okay.
What about you, Jason? What do you think?
I completely agree with him on that. It was a very, very drastic change, especially like in just toy design alone. It was just really odd. I mean, although, you know, Cyclonus and Galvatron were cool, but Galvatron turned into this big, bulky, weird-looking laser gun, and we're used to seeing something, you know, a lot more sleek and different.
Like Shockwave.
Like Shockwave. and still, like, does the lights and sound. But I can understand why they had to do it because, you know, like I said, marketing standpoint, but I personally think it was I think they could have transitioned it maybe with, like, a couple prequel cartoons, like, I guess right at the end of the season, right before they rolled into the movie, it probably would have been a little more received better, I would think, if they would have done something like that.
At least maybe to introduce a couple characters, maybe Magnus or something.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, they could have, like, introduced, you know, like, the moons on...
And that's kind of like what Scramble City was in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to understand, there from the end of Bot in 1985, which was the last season two episode, and the last time we really got any new characters in 85.
Brawl does not approve.
Yeah. but from that episode to the beginning of the movie, there was, what, 20, 30 years in time?
Right, around 20.
That we don't even know what happened. It's like, you know, we're all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing Ultra Magnus and Cup and Blur and Hot Rod, and it's like, where did these people come from?
And Spike's a grown up with a kid.
Yeah, you know what happened? I've always wanted to see a Transformer series that was a transition series between the 84-85 characters and the 86 characters. I've always wanted to see that, whether it be in comic form, cartoon, what have you. Rick, what do you think about all this?
Well, it was about selling toys and moving forward, but you look at a lot of the other toy lines that were around in the 1980s, and Transformers kind of did something which no other toy line did. They got rid of characters, and if you look at G.I. Joe, you look at He-Man, they would introduce a brand new Duke. They would introduce a Duke in a new body, a Roadblock in a new body, a new Cobra Commander action figure. He-Man would introduce a He-Man with the shattering armor on his chest, or the Flying Fist He-Man, or they'd make a brand new Skeletor. With Transformers and switching to that 86, I think the transition would have been better if it was like, well, here's a new Optimus Prime toy. He's Optimus, but now he's, you know, super flying Energon Optimus with sparks, and kind of keep those characters around a little bit to capitalize on those first 2 years rather than just chop half the cast off and say, all right, well, these guys are dead, and now these are your new characters.
Not to get too far off topic, but it's slightly relevant. I just realized something actually kind of hilarious is due to this movie – half the cast got 86.
But I'm pumped.
That just occurred to me.
Wow.
Maybe that was the running joke that nobody got on to.
It's like what do we do with all these characters? Blue Streak, Prowl, all these guys. What do we do with them? 86 them. They got 86. Yeah, Wheeljack, Ironhide, they got 86. Yeah. Well, you know, as a kid, I found the contrast between the 85 guys and the 86 guys. At first, I'll be honest, I hated it. I loved that was part of what I loved about the 84-85s is that you had realistic cars, trucks, and vehicle, you know, other vehicles. And yeah, you had the Dinobots, but you know, robot dinosaurs. Yeah. Every kid loves that. But
awesome.
For the most part, though, they were realistic. They had real world tie-ins. And then you get to the 86 movie characters, and you've got such weird, outlandish, out of this world designs. I mean, it's like Blur. Did he even have wheels? You know, Cup. What the hell was he? Was he a pickup? Was he a car? You know, a lot of my friends, we just kind of gathered, okay, his name is Cup, which is short for pickup, you know, so we assumed he was a futuristic pickup, you know. Then Rodimus Prime, a flaming Winnebago, you know, it's really cool. I get it in that, you know, it's a cool visual design, but honestly, I mean.
You know, it's very interesting that you mentioned that. Because our rule of thumb when we were designing and working on, like, Fall of Cybertron and anything that was future or Cybertron design related was, all right, it's 10 years out. That's how you got to look at it. So what does Optimus Prime look like on Cybertron? Well, it's just a truck 10 years down the road from Earth. That's so you wanted kids to have that recognizable design. And with a lot of those 86 characters, it's not necessarily recognizable. Wheeljack, Wreck-R turns into a motorcycle. He's got the silhouette of a motorcycle, but have you ever seen something like that? And Galvatron and the sweeps.
Well, I mean, Ultra Magnus here. I mean, he was probably the most recognizable alt mode out of any of them. That and Blaster and Perceptor. But everybody else was, what are they? I mean, like we said earlier, Scourge, what is he? Is he a boat? Is he a spaceship? Is he both? You know, ultimately, we discovered he kind of was both, you know.
He's a spaceboat.
Yeah, he's a spaceboat. But we never really, did we ever see him floating on water? I don't think so. You know, so even though technically, if you look at his packaging, it refers to him as a hovercraft, which makes him a, you know, a boat technically, but we always saw him flying through space, you know.
I had always wanted to create a character that, like, tell a story where Cup was a young guy and he shows him as like a rookie cop and he had a partner named Saucer.
Cup and Saucer.
I like that one.
Turned into a spaceship.
and it was like Cosmos's like brother or something.
Yeah, no, he would only mention Cosmos, but you'd never see Cosmos. I got a brother who's green. He turns into a plate.
He'd like cuss out Cosmos every other episode. He's like, the guy owes me $20.
Yeah, it was not really well. The meme didn't come along until much later, but nowadays you could throw in. Every now and then he'll say, I want to believe him, but I just can't. You know, he's a UFO. I want to believe.
Yeah.
So that's all right. Challenge to any listener out there. I want this for my Facebook paper. Take the X-Files I Want to Believe poster and put an awesome Cosmos in there instead.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome. Matter of fact, I think I did a picture of Legends Cosmos, and I put I Want to Believe on it. I need to reshare that very soon. So the 84-85 guys, what do you think about? Should some of them stayed around? Who do you think would have fit in best with the 84-85? I mean, or the 86 characters?
Now you're just talking from a personality standpoint.
Well, I mean. It's looks and or personality, whatever floats your boat.
Well, I think Bumblebee could have been used more. I mean, he was such a big part of that show that he was like the one guy that actually got a new toy. He's like, hey, I'm Goldbug now. Check me out.
Yeah. And then Cup. I mean, he should have been renamed Shitpiece, you know, but. But Prime, that's what you'll be from now on, Cup.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Rude Awakening, Optimus Prime. Yeah. Look it up on YouTube. If you don't know what we're referring to, was it Dr. Smoove?
Yes.
One of the most hilarious little video clips that you will watch related to the character. I mean, if you haven't watched it, you've done yourself a disservice.
I think that thing's got to be like 13, 14 years old now.
Yeah.
Right up there with the breakdancing sound wave.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen that breakdancing sound wave?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they model it off my dancing.
Ah. Because you're pretty fly like that.
Well, yeah.
You're pretty fly for a toy guy.
That's why I keep him around. My buddy Jack helps me out.
Plasticon, what do you think? What characters do you think would have meshed well with 86 characters? Don't get in a hurry to answer now.
You alive?
Hmm?
Oh,
there he is.
lagging out because Google sucks. What you were asking?
Okay, the 84, 85 characters, which ones of those characters do you think would have meshed well as a regular character in the 86 movie and beyond?
Jetfire, come on. What happened to him? Seriously, it would have worked. I think it would have worked really well because, you know, you think about it, you had Diatlas that could fly, that looked like a spaceship kind of thing. I mean, Jetfire kind of had a spaceshipy kind of vibe to him. I don't see why you couldn't.
Well, he was shown flying in space.
Well, so there you go. Why wasn't he brought in? There's a good one for you.
What about you, Jim? What do you think?
Honestly, what I would have liked to have seen, some characters that weren't in the cartoon series. Even though a couple of them did have the Floro Derry, you know, line art and everything, concept art drawn, but never actually made it into the final show, are not only the Jump Starters Twin Twist and Top Spin, but also the Wreckers Roadbuster and Whirl to kind of go along with Jetfire. Because I think, those characters themselves would have helped to kind of flesh out the Autobot ranks, have some more reinforcements for, you know, the Battle of Autobot City. Plus, you know, Top Spin and Twin Twist, they're not necessarily your average Earth-based modes. They're Cybertronian vehicles of sorts. So that would help kind of to bridge into the more futuristic designs of, say, you know, the Flaming Winnebago and the Flying Bar of Soap and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I don't think I ever got to say, but I think my favorite character in the that was introduced in the 86 movie had to have been Ultra Magnus. You know, he even though he couldn't deal with that right now, I always liked him. You know, he basically replaced Prime to me as the big semi, the stalwart of the Autobot ranks. He was always the base that Rodimus Prime would always go to as a capable commander. You know, he knew he could give Rodimus knew he could give a task to Ultra Magnus, and Ultra Magnus would do his best to see it out,
providing he could deal with it.
Yeah, providing he could deal with it. But you know, I mean, he survived being torn to pieces by the sweeps. You know, and he saw the most beautiful thing in the galaxy and blew it up with a bomb. So, I mean, I love Ultra Magnus. He's a great character, and I echo a lot of your thoughts on those characters. Is there any other 86 movie characters that we were introduced to in the movie that we've overlooked and that we need to mention that had a lasting impact on the franchise?
Cyclonus.
Wheelie
and Cyclonus, actually.
Wheelie.
I think the Sharkticons as a concept has stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any new toys other than third-party ones that actually do them justice.
What about Galvatron? I mean, we had that universe toy. Weird, but it's a version of the robot. What do you guys think about Galvatron and the upgraded Megatron as the upgraded Megatron?
Well, as a concept, it was great. I absolutely love the idea that Megatron got reformatted and became a new character. I think that was a great transition for that character. You know him. All right, that's Megatron, just in a new body. And I wonder if they could have done something similar for a lot of the other Autobots.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the fact that they took Megatron, upgraded him to Galvatron as a character. And in the movie, he was this, very competent, very sane, but extremely driven version of Megatron as Galvatron. And then he got thrown into the lava pit and shorted out some circuits and became an insane version of Galvatron that we saw throughout season 3. Okay. He was just virtually insane. He had the brilliance of Megatron, the cunning of Megatron, but he was just completely insane. And I think it took a lot of the comedic value that we had from some of Megatron's cockamamie schemes in the 84-85 storylines. And then in 86, it made them more realistic and grounded. It's like, okay, that's a cockamamie scheme, but what else would you expect from an insane leader? Send them off on this crazy quest or insane battle. It's like, okay, everybody, let's rush them. It's like, I don't think Megatron would have had everybody do that. It's like, he'd do a tactical retreat if they're outnumbered. Galvatron doesn't care. Let's go. He's insane. And I loved that character twist in Galvatron. He was Megatron. He had the cunning, the intelligence, the wit of Megatron, yet he just had a few screws loose because of that incident. So Galvatron was just amazing.
On that note, just for kind of an example, I mean, you knew that something had to be a little bit off with Galvatron when he's rescued from the lava pits of Char, only to turn around and complain that somebody interrupted his lava bath.
Like, really? Hence the insanity. Yeah, he was enjoying it. Wheelie.
I was about to say, maybe he went insane because he didn't have Starscream to kick around anymore.
Because he destroyed him. Yeah.
I know.
Well, see, that's the thing I liked about Galvatron in the movie is the fact that, he did something that Megatron was hesitant to do, get rid of his Air Commander Starscream. He was tired of Starscream always stepping on his toes, going behind his back. As Galvatron, he did something about it. He did something, and that was something that I found that Flint Dilley and the crew, that when they wrote the 86 movie, it seemed like they had a plan for Megatron and changing him into this new character, and turning him into this character. And how do you do that? How do you go about doing that? You have him do something that Megatron was unwilling to do or couldn't do, and that's kill Starscream. Mm-hmm. Now Wheelie. Everybody, Wheelie is a dividing line in this fandom. If you're familiar with the character at all, you either love him or you hate him. I'm in the love camp. I love Wheelie. Yes, he was a little bit annoying in the cartoon, but I loved Wheelie. His toy was great. His G1 toy is great. It was unique. What do you guys think, Rick?
Well, I'm in that camp that I think he's a little annoying. I did like him in the movie versus the TV series. But what I will say about Wheelie, and it's kind of off topic, the IDW story of how he became a rhyming robot was just pure genius. And it made me appreciate the character on a whole other level. So I'm kind of hoping that Wheelie shows up again in the Dwa comics.
Spoiler alert, I have not read this comic and this storyline. So anybody who has not read it, Rick, I'd like to hear about that real quick if you can sum it up.
Okay, so basically he crash lands on a planet, and he's a regular talking Transformer. He meets this alien that's there, and the alien rhymes. And the only way Wheelie can communicate with him is through using the same syntax. So he starts to rhyme little by little, and they end up being on that planet for whatever it is, 100 years or so. And by the end of it, they rhyme in such a way that they complement each other. And when he escapes the planet, that's just a part of who he is now. It's in the Wheelie one-shot. I highly recommend it. If there's any Idwa writers out there listening, please bring Wheelie back.
So, sounds an awful lot like that one movie, Enemy Mine.
Yeah, kind of like that. Bumper Robinson, was that the guy in it? Was that the guy who played Bumblebee in TF Animated? He was the little kid in Enemy Mine.
What?
Little trivia fact for you there. Sorry if I got the name wrong.
Nice.
Well, another Transformer tie-in.
Bringing it around full circle.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Now, is there any character – now, what do you feel about the big guy himself, Unicron, and his impact, his introduction in the movie? Do you like how it was done? Do you dislike how it was done? And how do you feel the franchise would be without Unicron today? I'll start with Rick since you're on the left this time.
Well, I love Unicron. I love the whole creation story that's followed up with in the comic books that Simon Furman came up with. I think he's an essential part of the brand. He's something more. I like the comic book origin story versus the Call of the Primitives origin story for Unicron. To think that Unicron and Primus are something more than just Transformers that can be built or have a spark. They're supernatural. And I like that side, that it's not just a big robot, it's a supernatural entity that even if you destroy its body, it's still alive. It can still hurt you. It can still come after you. And to think that, what if the devil was real and he showed up on your front door? That's kind of like the story I think about when I think of Unicron. Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't that kind of carry over into the Transformers Prime universe? I mean, where Unicron was pretty much an elemental of the core of Earth. He was like the devil incarnate from within the Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where we were trying to establish a connection between Earth and Cybertron, and why Earth was that one planet that all the Transformers stories seem to connect to. I think it was Dwayne Capizzi who came up with the idea that if Cybertron is really Primus and it's a robotic world, then Earth being an organic world would be Unicron, where Cybertron is ones and zeros and Earth has spoken languages, different languages. That's the chaos and the order, and that kind of like what brings the Transformers together.
Awesome.
Another reason why everyone is bipedal and has two sets of eyes and a set of hands, and we all kind of look the same when we're standing upright because we're all connected.
The robots have two arms and legs and humans
yeah. Don't. Because we're all descended from the same thing.
Mm. Interesting. So, Plasticon, what do you think about Unicron and his impact on the franchise?
I think it was about as metal as it gets. Seriously. Honestly, I mean, I absolutely loved how they introduced him in. You know, it was like, oh my God, there's this gigantic planet that eats other planets. And it's just not many... I don't even think there really was anything out during that time that even reflected that when it came up.
Pac-Man?
So, well.
Death Star, but
Man, well, the Death Star blew up planets, but didn't consume them. So I like the idea behind him. I like the idea that he was just like the ultimate baddie. And it's like, okay, what can like the leaders of both factions be able to do against this thing that can just literally take Cybertron and just rip it in two, you know?
Power.
I thought it was just awesome. And his character design is just phenomenal. I'm a big fan of Unicron. I thought he was great. I thought he was actually pretty good in the Unicron series that we got. It's pretty good. They brought his character back and finally gave us a toy, although the prototypes for the original toy were looked like a beach ball with legs, but
you'd still want it.
I do still want it though. Because it's just like this stupid blue color and a yellow. I mean, it's like, please, somebody, third party, make something like that. Because I don't know if you guys saw the actual prototype, but the prototype actually had a almost like a thing where it had like other planets that would orbit around it too. It was really weird.
That was part of a camera feature where you would actually, you would kind of look into it and you might like see a scene. It was kind of like a ViewMaster from what I understand.
Oh, okay. But I would absolutely love it if a third party would make one like that. So that way it would fit in with the guys out there that, I mean, I know I'm the Generation 2 guy. But I know a lot of G1 guys out there would absolutely love just a quirky-looking Unicron to stand on the shelf with the rest of their bots from G1. And I don't know anybody that would say no to that.
We had a couple of those prototypes there at Hasbro when I was working there, and I pitched that we should make like a Legends version Unicron based off that design, but, you know, the little one. And nobody got it. Nobody understood what I was trying to say, unfortunately.
Missed opportunity. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Missed opportunity. But he's big. He's a planet. Why is he small?
He's a moon.
It's just a toy.
That Optimus or, you know, any of like the Masterpiece can just hold it in his hand and explain that this is what's coming after them. Like a hologram or something. They would have made it like translucent or something. It would have been really
nailed it, man.
There you go.
Jim, what do you think about Unicron and his impact?
I don't know. I'm still visualizing the prototype and the ViewMaster feature. That blew my mind. I never knew that about that. I mean, I'd seen the images of the original prototype and all that. You know, what was that? BotCon 97 or something. But I never knew about that feature. You know, that was pretty neat. As far as the impact of that, though, outside of maybe the Death Star, or I don't know if Ego, the Living Planet, was around in DC by that point yet or not. But even so, I don't think that anything really had been done of that capacity before that point. So that was a game changer for a lot of sci-fi, not just Transformers in itself, but it was something grandiose and something, like I said, unheard of, and it completely changed the landscape. I mean, anything you thought you knew, it just took it and, I mean, it took it and beyond, good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. For lack of a better way of putting it, I mean, they knew it was approaching as it was attacking the moon bases, you know. So you know they didn't have much of a time to prepare. So I mean, in the aftermath of the Battle of Autobot City and all that, it was just like the worst case scenario incarnate.
But I
think it honestly suffered from not ever receiving a toy until Armada, honestly.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most anticipated toys of all time, I think, in my opinion, as a collector. And I don't own one now. I'm on the lookout for one of those, the United one or the one that that was an Amazon exclusive? Yeah.
Didn't Orson have one at one point?
He had one, but at the time I didn't have the money to buy it. So
I didn't either.
But he may even still have it, actually. But anyway, we're quickly approaching an hour and a half here, and I want to wrap it up very shortly. But I want to throw a question out there, and whoever feels compelled to throw out an answer, if there is one, as far as characters go, what was the biggest mistake? What should have who should not have happened, or who was mishandled, or who could have been handled better?
RC.
Why?
No toy. Why would you? My whole thing is like, seriously, she's like a main role character, but you don't give us a toy.
Why even bother having her in the cartoon / comic or anything if you're not even going to make a toy of it?
Right. I mean, Unicron I can understand because of the size and the cost value, but...
And he was a plot device, honestly.
Right, and honestly, I think a lot of people would probably agree with me. There's no reason why they couldn't have done that. I've seen people do customizations of a kind of retooling Hot Rod into RC, and it works.
Yeah.
So there really is no reason, and the same thing with Blur. I've seen them do the same thing with that toy design. Mm-hmm. So...
So I mean, RC could have been a redeco of Blur.
Right, and I'm pretty sure Rick probably saw some crazy things. I mean, we've all seen like the design sketches and probably like a few photos of the prototypes, but I mean, there's no reason why we should have had one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think these shows exist to sell product, to sell licensed goods. At the end of the day, when you have a main character and you're not making a toy just because it's a female character and a boy's brand, I think that's a huge missed opportunity now, especially in the world we live in today.
And you know what? It not only happened once, but it happened again just a few years later in Botanica and Beast Machines.
Yeah.
You know, you had a central character that was female, and yes, she had a weird alt mode, but... never got a toy. Why even feature her in the show as a regular if you're not going to make a toy of it?
Well, the thing that killed me is the fact that G.I. Joe had how many female characters and released female figures well before the movie ever came out or anything.
And even at the same time.
Exactly. So there really was no excuse for that to me. But I guess the whole demographics is like, oh, well, would it be a pink Transformer? Would that sell to boys?
Today.
It does to guys like me that collect a lot of Generation 2. Yeah, there's a lot of pink and just weird colors. But then again, you had the Seacons.
Scourge.
They had a lot of pink.
Mm. Scourge had nail polish.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the original
toy had the nail polish, but it's the fact that the Seacons had a lot of pink. Mm-hmm. So really, what was the excuse? I don't understand what the excuse was back then.
They weren't free birds.
Well, I guess not.
I think Rick might get that.
Yeah, I'm old.
Any other thoughts on 86 movie characters that were introduced before we wrap?
I'll throw a question out there. What 86 character would you like to see redone in a Generations line? Duron.
Mm.
Well, we got a Wheelie coming in Titan Wars.
And we've already gotten Ultra Magnus. We've got an RC.
We've got Springer, Magnus.
The Generation Springer was pretty darn good.
Blur and I suppose Scourge are on their way to Titan Wars.
Yeah. You know, we got Classics Rodimus, but I would like to see a new Rodimus. Mm-hmm. An actual Rodimus Prime, not just a Hot Rod.
Thank you.
And the thing is that, you know, yes, the classics mold is quite dated now, and we could have better. But quite frankly, it's also a really good mold, in my opinion, and still stands as a good hot rod representation. Has the visuals that you expect. It might not have the posability of some modern figures or current figures, but it still stands well, in my opinion. But I would like to see a better Rodimus Prime, the Flaming Winnebago. I would like to see a Generation's incarnation of him.
Honestly, I could probably see them possibly retooling, considering they're already retooling the Magnus as Optimus. Why couldn't they retool that as Rodimus Prime?
Too big.
Or remold it into the Eagle 7.
Well, I don't think size really matters. I mean, you look at those Jetfire size Seekers, so.
Right, and then that's my thing is, like, who cares about scale? If you want something that transforms that you literally don't have to, like, parts form, that's
the thing is, though, I don't want it to be another a straight up retool or a repaint. It needs to be a whole new toy itself. And, you know, Headmaster Don, I'm sure would agree with me. You know, the masterpiece showed that we had this nemesis of Rodimus Prime with the blacks and the purples. And then DX9 carry, and you had Terror. As the redeco of that mold, I'd like to see that in an official sense. You know, you have a Rodimus Prime, and then the repaint would be, you know, this black and purple and lavender redeco, and I think he would be amazing. You know, with the Fu Manchu, the black Fu Manchu stash. And this evil version of Rodimus Prime, maybe even write it in a storyline, you know, Combiner Wars or IDW, whichever media may feature him, write him as maybe a brother of Rodimus Prime that chose to go to the Decepticon ranks because his ideals were vastly different than Rodimus's. You know, so. I'd like to see that, but will we ever? Never know.
Man, nobody ever says Sharktacons. I kind of want new Sharktacons.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of cool to see them possibly do maybe like a two-pack with Sharktacons and an Alakon.
Yeah.
Like literally, like, I don't know, somehow engineer the skeleton thing so that way it works for both types, so that way you actually have beast formers and make it work so that way you have a Sharktacon and an Alakon to have maybe a similar transformation but some kind of retooling. I don't see why they can't make that work. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
I was going to say a Quintesson that actually has five faces this time, not like Energon. It's three and a half. But yeah, definitely. I think a Quintesson, either one of the Quintesson like bailiffs or even the five faced judges, I think would be something neat to see. And as far as your Rodimus Prime, I also agree there. It would need to be its own unique, brand new mold figure. And I want to correct my earlier statement. It was Eagle 5, not Eagle 7. The Schwartz was not with me. But actually, they could totally redo Rodimus Prime into Eagle 5 and have, like, Headmaster Lone Star and Target Master Barf. Who wouldn't
that would be awesome.
Who wouldn't want a Barf gun? I mean, come on.
That's even better. It's the Barf gun.
I know. There is nothing not awesome about that. It leaves space tracks and everything.
And the tracks are plaid.
Yes.
I think we've jumped the shark here. You guys, jump the Sharktacon here. I think we've talked about some really interesting things here. Again, check us out on Twitter @TFYLP. We're also on Facebook And we also have a website, tftalk.net. Check us out on there. You can find out anything you want to know about TFYLP there, and also download old episodes if you are just now finding out about us. Please like, share, and subscribe to us. You know, that's the number one way to show us that you enjoy listening to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be on audio download via iTunes or Double Twist or whatever method you download the audio straight from the website. You know, subscribe to us, and also rate us. We'd love to hear from you. Guys, do you have any other closing thoughts before we go?
This Generation awesome. 2 rocks.
Yes. I saw you got the Superion. I'm jealous.
Yes. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, I have put up a review of Generation 2 Superion Combiner Wars. If you're a G2 fan, it should be a no-brainer. Seriously, buy it.
Just to clarify, this is the actual G2 Combiner Wars Superion. This isn't one of your customs.
This is not a custom. This is the original one that came out. I've had the box to prove it. Okay. I do a lot of G2 customs. Yes, I do. Yes, but this is the original stuff.
Awesome.
Also, Brawl makes an awesome mech.
Yes. Yeah. That's fun. Well, guys, I think that'll do us for this episode. For Rick Alvarez, Jason Walson, Jim Black, I am Deron Land. We will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. Tune in next week, Friday nights at 9 on YouTube and also on our downloads via iTunes and other media outlets. Check us out then. Like, subscribe, and share. Please do. Guys, thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
Tiffalip.
Unicron pulls off his left leg.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Ivey, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.